are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Good evening and welcome to the continuation of the launch Getting Prepared for College Education series on There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Now tonight in part 5 of our 7-part series, our focus will be on how we can help our students get prepared for the scholarship interview. So if you plan to apply for a scholarship, this show is a very important one, and the scholarship interview is an important part of that process. So if I were you, I'd get ready to take some notes, because the launch team is here to provide you with information to help you get your child or yourself ready for that interview. So my co-host and I, we certainly do want you to achieve your scholarship goals. So that is one of the reasons why we decided to create this series, because it's especially for the parents of the current high school students getting ready to graduate who might be overwhelmed with the whole how do I get my child ready for college process, or it's also for that current undergraduate student because it's never too late to apply for a scholarship, or it may be for that individual who might be thinking about going back to school for an advanced degree. So once again, I advise you, this is the time to run and get your pencil and paper, your iPad, or whatever you use to take notes, because we are getting ready to launch again this evening. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff was a vision that I received from God, and it is my transparent journey and proof of how facing my own truths has allowed me to grow in all areas of my life while walking in my purpose. Now, together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past that fear in your life as you explore new and inspiring opportunities to discover and then walk in your life's purpose. And in doing so, together we will support one another through this journey. So that is why I invite you to tune in on a conversation with us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at, up2meradio.com. That's up2meradio.com. And with that said, I say thank you for listening, for joining us as we share with you our insights related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. And as I've said from time and time again on each show, this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You are the ones who help to drive this show, so we always want to hear from you. And with the start of this new series, though, we're doing something a little bit different with how we entertain your questions and comments, because there's so much information that our expert consultants want to share with you, and so we want to make sure that we give them an adequate amount of time to provide you with that information. So what we're doing is asking that you email your questions or your comments ahead of time to me at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, and then what we'll do is we'll address them on air during our question and answer segment at the end of the show, okay? So once again, we ask that you email your questions and comments to thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And as always, we always look forward to hearing from you. And so now we're ready to get started. And so if you are tuning in for the first time, we actually kicked off this series, the launch Getting Prepared for College Education series, back in January. And it was a series created to help take some of the guesswork out of the college preparation process, because it is a daunting process for sure. And so I am so grateful that my special guest co-host has agreed to share her knowledge, her wisdom, and her team of experts with us here on There Is Life After Layoff radio show. So without further ado, help me to welcome Ms. Deborah Williams. She is the CEO and founder of A Fresh Start LLC and the creator of the Launch Soaring into Higher Education Consulting Program. So welcome, Deborah.
Good evening. How are you, Allie?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Doing great. Thank you for having us again. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, of course, because you have not only been sharing lots of great information with our listeners, you've been helping me because I am the parent of a high school sophomore, and as I've stated, this process is so overwhelming, and so this has really been a big help to me to help shed some light on this, you know, this process and getting my daughter ready, you know, to go to college. So thank you so much for being a part of this. But and in just a moment, Deborah, you and I are going to actually be joined on air by one of your colleagues from the launch team. But before we do that, and before I ask you to introduce her and tell us a little bit about why the series got started or you know, the launch started, I want to remind our listeners, please stay tuned in for the entire show, because at the end of the show is when I will be sharing details with you about how you can qualify to participate in the Launch Preparing for College Education giveaway, okay? It is a package valued at over $500, and it is being gifted to one of our faithful listeners by Deborah and her team of consultants. So you want to make sure you stay tuned to hear the details about that. So, Deborah, before you introduce and welcome your colleague from your team on air with us tonight, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and the inspiration behind the Launch Soaring into Higher Education Consulting Program?
Yes, I'm a former instructor. I maybe mentioned it before. I teach college students, have taught college students, and my background is also I'm from an HBCU school, Norfolk State University, where I received my undergrad and MBA. Dual MBA from University of Phoenix. Also, my company is a Fresh Start LLC, which we help parents, students, and the community educate them about credit. And while doing this, I also fell into this position or started this company with the launch by helping students research for scholarships. I was helping a friend of mine and her daughters get prepared for college, and we just searched for scholarships. So what I thought about is this would be a great way to introduce this to a lot of different students, their families, the community, how to prepare for scholarships. So
wow.
This is how I started, and I created a team, which is a great, as you know, seeing this expert, a team of women who help with the launch, and all of them come from different types of expertise. So I'm very happy to have them with me.
Absolutely. They have been so resourceful throughout the series and so informative, so I'm grateful for as well. So without further ado, will you please do the honors of welcoming your launch colleague on air?
Yes, I'm bringing in my colleague. It's Ms. Velma Wright. Velma is also an educator, and she can bring you some information from a lot of different aspects as far as students and what she sees in the school system as well. And with no further ado, I would like to introduce you to Velma Wright.
Hi.
Good evening, Velma. How are you?
Good evening. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us this evening and for sharing your knowledge and your expertise with all of us. I know that you are going to spark some light bulb moments, and I know in me anyway, and those who might be
tuning
in.
I hope so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's jump right in. And, you know, I have said this on the previous shows that I'm representing for all the parents out there. So, you know, I may be asking questions that, you know, pop up into my head, you know, but, you know, they're going to be mainly some key questions that we feel that, you know, all the parents who are tuning in may want to have the answers to. So if you're ready, we're going to get started, okay? So first things first, of course, this whole series was created, you know, we're talking about the focus being on students and parents helping their students apply for scholarships. And so part of that may include a scholarship interview. So tell us, what is the purpose of the college scholarship interview, and what does that interview help determine for that student?
Well, Allie, the purpose of the college scholarship interview is to see how much the applicant fits the sponsoring organization's mission. Just like a job interview, you have to interview a number of candidates to determine the best fit. So this is the purpose of, you know, having a scholarship interview, to get to know the person that could potentially take home, so to speak, the scholarship that you're giving. If the scholarship is offered by a service organization, the questions will focus mainly on your community service and or whether you have a financial need. If the scholarship is sponsored by a corporation, then the focus of the questions in the interview is going to be about your interest and your experience in the corporate field.
Okay, okay. All right, that makes perfect sense. So they just want to make sure that it's you're a good fit for what their mission is and their overall look, you know, almost like a brand fit, you know?
Exactly.
If you, okay, got it. So do here, I know this is probably the million-dollar question, because I know students, when you say scholarship interview, they start sweating bullets, okay? So do all scholarships require the student to sit for an interview? And which types, if they don't, which type of scholarships generally require a student to participate in an interview?
Well, no two scholarships are the same. Different scholarship sponsors have different requirements in mind before they award funds to students. Some scholarships require an interview. It's either a one-on-one or a bi-panel interview. And interviews are more common with the larger or well-known scholarship awarders. But whatever requirements that they have for the scholarships, you need to do your research, you need to prepare for the interview, and you need to practice your responses, because you want to go in and you're at the point where you've already impressed them, but you want to go into the interviews and just lay it on them, so to speak, to make sure they know that you're the best person for that scholarship.
So would it be safe to say, okay, so you're at this point, you've made it to this level, you've impressed them on paper, but they want to see does this person that we read about on paper match the individual?
Exactly. It's pretty much when you send your, just like when you send your resume in, what's on paper impresses them, but what they want to see and when they get you in front of them is if what's on paper matches the person that they see in person. And, you know, that's going to potentially get you the job or get you the scholarship that you applied for.
Right. So let me ask you this. The scholarship interview, is that kind of down the ladder of the process? So you say, what I'm trying to say is, if a student applies for a scholarship and, you know, they submitted all their application and, you know, it's been reviewed, what have you, then they make it to the next level or the next round, if you will. The next round could be that interview. So it's kind of down the road, I guess, of that scholarship? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are the first steps towards getting prepared for an interview? What is the first few things that, you know, in your expertise, should a student do to try to get prepared for that?
Okay. The big reference here is just like a job interview. You wouldn't go to or schedule or be preparing for a job interview without doing the research or doing the background check. So the same would apply for a scholarship interview. Make sure you review the scholarship provider's mission statement, the organization's community involvement, any maybe recent or current news stories that they may have done on the organization, even check out the people who would potentially be interviewing you. And the game changer, I guess, in 2018 is the fact that you have resources like LinkedIn where you can go online and you can Google pretty much anyone you want to find out information about. So, you know, that's a great resource. And review the application packet that they sent you. You're going to need to bring, again, like a job interview, you bring extra copies of your resume. And you practice, you answer questions, you know, that you think they may ask you at the interview, and you just prepare, because you want to put your best your best self for it.
And you know what I just thought of while you say research the company? Mm-hmm. Before, I think I would be safe in saying, before you apply for a scholarship, do that research, because you want to make sure that company or organization that is offering the scholarship is a good fit for you and what you believe. How about that?
Exactly. And quite frankly, I guess that's where we come in, because
mm-hmm.
we do that research for you. And mm-hmm. pretty much all you would have to do is fill out the paperwork and get it to the organization on time, meet those deadlines, and, you know, we do that part for you, because we mm-hmm. do the research to make sure that this is what you need and you take the next step to getting the scholarship.
Wow, so the research is very critical in this process. It sounds to me like, you know, that research
yeah.
is very critical. So do your homework, people.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times that, you know, just like the reference we've been using this evening has been comparing this to a job interview. So, and you've already said that you would advise a student to do background research on the scholarship provider.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of information should they be familiar with about that scholarship provider?
Well, again, the mission statement, what they're involved in terms of the community, how do they help the community that they, I guess, where the school is located, or, you know, just in general, what they're doing in the community, what the news reports say about them, are they a good company or decent company, what the scholarship, you know, helps in terms of what they have funds for, basically.
Okay, so just a background check.
A background check.
And, you know, I can't say this enough, and you've already hit it home. LinkedIn is so valuable in this process. LinkedIn is a wonderful tool to use.
It is.
Because it's strictly professional. And, you know, if a student getting ready to go to college doesn't have a LinkedIn profile, they should get one.
They should.
They should get
they
one
should.
Because I think a lot of employers as well, you know, after you get through school, you're trying to find a job. So it's really good for you to have that LinkedIn profile, because a lot of employers use LinkedIn to look for candidates, for viable candidates.
I'm sorry, Velma.
I think, too, since you mentioned LinkedIn, but the problem is, realistically, a lot of students do not know about LinkedIn.
You're right about that.
You know, we have to give them something to focus on that they can relate to, because when you mention LinkedIn, even to our college students, none of them, okay, let's say at least 50% of them did not know what that meant. Or what is that?
Wow.
The app? What is
wow.
that? So what we have to do as well is we have to find something easy that they can communicate in. I would say also one of the best answers was Google. When they Google to them, that's how they focus and that's how they think something quickly. They're going to see too many words. Okay, you're telling me go in and put in the application, which a lot of times students' parents do a lot for them. And when it comes down to the interview process, the parents cannot be in that room.
That's right.
And what I recommend to our students is, number one is, since you like to do FaceTime, since you like to do selfies, what I suggest for you to do is interview yourself and record it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you record, just to see how you look to yourself, because you're the worst critic, because you know how they
yeah.
do selfies. And
yeah.
if it's not good enough, they don't want it. So I would say Google, you know, you have to now LinkedIn to them would think that's something old in the past, which that's something they need to look at. But now we have to relate to them. You know, I think you introduce that to LinkedIn. That should be introduced to them early, like in the 9th or 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yes.
then they will be able to start that resume, which we talked about, the students need to create that resume, and then they can drop that easy when you tell them to drop it, and then they can drop that in LinkedIn and have them to
right.
monitor like they do their status.
Right.
Which is no wow. longer Facebook. They don't use that anymore either.
No, they said Facebook's for old people.
Exactly. That's what they would think LinkedIn is for, you know?
Oh, God. But LinkedIn is so, I mean, it's a professional site, and, you know, it's not gossipy, and it's just a lot of good articles out there and just a lot of professional, you know, information that, like I said, very useful. I've read some wonderful articles on LinkedIn, and it's just a great way to connect with other professionals in your industry, you know, and you get a chance to join those different groups, and, you know, it creates visibility for what you do.
Right.
You know? But, you know, like you said, that comes with, you know, parents introducing that, you know, even maybe educators and mentors introducing that, and people such as yourself, you know, who are coaching these students and mentoring these students through this process, to introduce that and just dropping that nugget of knowledge and saying, hey, you might want to check this out because this might help you get a job one day. You know, that might be the key way to introduce that topic. This might help you get a job.
Yeah, definitely. Because, so they would introduce, and we're just checking to see if some of the instructors or high school students do. Well, Tara just let us know also that they do not introduce LinkedIn in high school.
Wow.
And I know we had to introduce it was in college. And that's why I said 50% of the students did not even know what that was.
Right. And that's kind of,
wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've talked to my daughter about it, and of course she looked like a deer in headlights, but that's okay because I'm like, girl, please come back into the light. Come on. You know, so, you know, I'll probably help her build that because I know she may need it for, you know, down the road. And it's a good way to keep track of what you've done along the way, you know. People want to know current information, and then it helps you from not having to go back and try to remember what you did. So if you just add these items as you go along, then it's there, you know. So anyway, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, but, you know, you kind of...
It's really...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to... It's a really good networking tool, and...
Yes.
All different kinds of companies and people, professionals, and it's really a really good resource.
Right. So, now, moving on, you kind of mentioned this, but I want you to reiterate it again. What should the student, again, bring with them to the interview, and should the student come prepared with questions to ask the interviewer prior to the interview?
Yes. You need a number of copies of your resume, and you need to have questions prepared to ask the interviewer. They want to ask you questions to get to know you, but at the same time, they're the sponsor of a scholarship that you're applying for, and you need to know about the sponsors that could potentially give you money to fund your college education.
It kind of creates a two-way, them learning about you, you learning about them, and it shows them that you took initiative to prepare some questions and say, you know, hey, you know, I want to know about you as well, you know. So I think it serves a dual purpose, in doing that as well. And so you may have already answered this. So the interviews, they're generally one-on-one or group or panel or both? Does it depend on the type of scholarship or the organization?
It depends on the scholarship. It depends on the organization. And I think we did mention it earlier, but it could either be a one-on-one interview or by a panel. And usually the panel interviews are by your larger or more well-known scholarship awarders.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly, like the ambassador scholarships, because we had one of our students, she interviewed for that. She had made it to the top, she made it to the last interview, the final. And unfortunately, she did not get it, but she received $15,000 for each semester. You know, make it up to the second. So she did very well. But like she said, I know there was five on the panel, I think it was three or five students. These were students, and they had asked questions, was asking her general questions, and like she asked them, what enticed you to come to this university? You know, and I think more, the more money, the scholarship, the more people that would be sitting on the panel. Or it just depends, basically, how prestigious their university or college is as well, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said they had students interviewing her?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So these were students who had received these awards.
Oh,
or they
got
had
it.
Very high rankings within the university.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that,
which made it very comfortable for the student as well, too.
Oh, so do you is that the norm, or is it just depend?
That it depends on that university or college.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they will, and they let, what they did for her was they gave her the name of the panelists before she got there, and they gave their bio of each one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So they helped the student as well.
Well, that's good. Okay. And I think you're right, what you just said. I think a student would be more comfortable with another student versus an industry professional or a faculty member or something
mm-hmm.
like that. It might help them relax a little bit. But then again, you never know, because that's their peers, and you know how kids are.
Yeah. And what she said was they made her feel very comfortable.
Oh, well, good.
Give them to the school. So that helped out a lot, too.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad you shared how she, I know you had been sharing with us along the way that she had progressed to that final level.
Yeah.
So, well, good for her, though. Congratulations to her on even getting that far and getting, you know, what she was awarded. So congratulations to her. That is awesome.
Very good.
So, you know what, at this time, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause and take a short, very quick station break, and then when we return, we're going to continue to explore how we can help our students prepare for the scholarship interview, okay? So just hang in there with me, guys. Remember to stay tuned till the end of the show, because that is when I will be sharing with you all the details about how you can qualify to win a complete Launch Soaring into Higher Education Scholarship consultation package that is valued at over $500. So please don't touch that dial. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. If you just tuned in, I'm your host, Allie, and I'm joined by my special guest co-host, Deborah Williams, along with one of her launch team consultants, Ms. Velma Wright, and you're listening to the Launch Preparing for College Education series on There Is Life After Layoff radio show, which is broadcast through uptomeradio.com. That's up, the number 2, meradio.com. And we encourage you to join us every second and fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And tonight we are in part 5 of the series, and we are discussing the scholarship interview. If you have questions pertaining to this subject matter, please email them to me at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, and we will compile them and make sure that we address them in all of your inquiries during our question and answer segment on that we have at the end of the show. So we're going to pick up where we left off before the break. Velma or Deborah, give us an example of what the student can expect when they go into one of these interviews.
Okay, I'll take that, what a student can expect. During the interview process, you can expect a little to explain your background to the committee and the selection the committee wanted to, the committee selected you, and at this point, if your scheduled to interview with the committee, mm-hmm. they want to know more about you. And
right.
I keep referencing back to a job interview, and the student has to look at this as a job interview. They want to know more about you. They want to know that you're a good fit for their organization. They're, you know, giving you the money to attend school. It's like bringing you into their company, and you
right.
have to be a good fit to work within that organization. And that's basically what the scholarship interview is all about, getting to know you and making sure that you're a good fit for that organization.
Okay.
And also they're looking for, as Velma said, to make sure you're a good fit, but they're also looking for to see if you're a normal kid. They're looking for also to see, do you have fun? Do you socialize?
What kind
of events do you attend? Are you in any different organizations besides just studying for your field? Like Beta Club, are you a Girl Scout? Do you participate in different church organizations? So what they want to look for as well is a well-rounded person. You have the education, as Velma said. They brought you in there, so this is the person they're really looking at because you already enticed them. But what else can you do besides study? You know,
if you're just
a student coming in here to be 3.0, 4.0, but if you're not grounded on the social level, far as we always talk about teamwork, can
mm-hmm.
you be a team player with your roommates, or can you be a team player with your, you know, with your classmates? And that's another thing they're looking at, because you can be so straight as an A student, but you may not fit in this school because of your personality or how you presented
uh-huh.
yourself, because you stay in your room or stay in a library all the time.
Wow, that's interesting. That's a great point, though, Deborah. Very great point. And I can understand that. And they want a well-rounded individual.
Yes,
wow.
yes, exactly.
Wow. So is there anything else that they can expect?
I would say everything that we had talked about. Another thing is that some of the preparation that you thought you prepared for, you will not know exactly what questions they will ask you. You know, one of the students told me, they would shoot from the hip, because it depends on what they're sitting there, and all of a sudden they think of a question, but what they're trying to do is see how you react under pressure. You know,
okay.
we had talked about also, talked about as a group, far as being confident. You know,
right.
are you overly confident or you're arrogant? You know, they're still going back. They're looking at your personality. They're looking at the way you present yourself. And also they're looking at all this paperwork that you presented. But are you the person that we see on this resume?
Right, right. Makes sense. And what about, you know, travel? Is that something that needs to be considered as well? Because, you know, do many of the scholarships require, or, you know, have you known of any that require a student to travel to them, and would they reimburse you for expenses for that, or what have you?
Some of the interview panels or the scholarship sponsors do reimburse you for the travel, so that has to be a factor when you apply for or when you accept the scholarship interview. Look at how much or what it's going to cost you to travel to where they want you to travel to. Some scholarship interviews may be local, but the ones that are, you know, a distance where you have to travel, you have to put into the factor or the equation that there are going to be expenses for traveling. Maybe you'll have to stay overnight, and all those expenses go into it. And I would think that the ones that reimburse you would be the so-called larger or well-known sponsors.
Okay. All right. So now, here's another million-dollar question, because I'm going to tell you, oh, my goodness, how important is appearance? Please, because the way some of these kids dress today, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable?
Yeah. I've always had the problem with dress casual, or, you know, what is dress casual? Everybody has a different, you know, perspective on what's to dress casual or not to dress casual. It's not necessary to dress formal, but business attire is appropriate for all scholarship and College Board interviews. For example, the men or the boys should consider wearing slacks, cleaned and pressed, and a dress shirt. And don't forget to wear shoes that are in good condition, and please wear a belt. We don't want your pants or your slacks falling off.
Oh, please, please, please.
Female students may want to opt for a knee-length dress or skirt or business-style suit. And in terms of your hair, if you have hair, you want your hair to look nice and neat. And if you have hair that's constantly falling in your face or falling in your eyes, you don't want to distract from your attention to the interviewer, and, you know, by pushing your hair back or having to constantly get it out of the way. But please dress professional. We want you to look professional and well-groomed.
Right.
So appearance is very important.
That means comb your hair, guys.
Exactly.
I know that's the look today, but please, somebody else might not see it that way.
And please, too, with that, as far as colored hair, we advise not to go in with different color hair.
Yeah.
That's distracting.
Good point. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and you know, like you said earlier, we've repeated it throughout this segment. How would you dress if you were going in for a job interview? If this was a career move for you, how would you dress? I mean, come on, let's keep it simple, you know, and how would you want to represent yourself to somebody who doesn't know you and is just meeting you for the first time? So just use that as your guide and look in the mirror. And my mom used to always tell me, if you look in the mirror and you're thinking about it too long, then it's not right for you.
But
Allie,
if some people aren't even really sure how to dress for a job interview, you'd be surprised. Some people
show up
and, you know, so
ask
the internet, the internet, Google it.
Exactly.
How should I
dress
for an interview? So.
Absolutely.
I think too is a lot of students, we found out, do not have mentors at home. You know, maybe single parents or the parents is working a lot. And I saw this, one of the consultants that I was at a high school interview, I think it was over 300 students, and we watched them come in. They was given money that day, and some of the students came in suits. Some came in like they just got out of bed.
Some of
them came in with portfolios. Some came with their transcripts. Some came with nothing. Some of the parents came with them, and they really didn't know why they was there. And
did
not realize they was giving away over $300,000 that day.
Oh, my Lord.
But the students did not research, and this was a college fair.
Wow.
So they can't research, and that's the problem that we're seeing, not in all students, but this is even college students, is that the preparation, and I think I've said this before, is that we have to stress this more than once. If a parent or a student can afford to pay $300 to $400 for a pair of sneakers or a cell phone, but do not want to put this money towards education, mentoring, tutoring, then we have a problem.
We have a problem.
We have a problem because when we stress this, like you're saying, some people look at us with a deer in the headlights, like, are you serious? But then they wait till the last minute. Like you're doing, Allie, this is so well needed, but it's like we can only go but so far.
Right. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yeah.
Give them the information and, you know, but there are a lot of organizations, though, like to your point, that don't, these young men may not have mentors, but there's a lot of churches that may have a program that teaches young men how to tie a tie, how to present themselves professionally. I see it all the time, you know, people posting events of that nature. So reach out to your community. It takes a village. I always believe, and I stand by that, it takes a village to raise a child. And so reach out, but you got to ask. People don't know what you need unless you ask them or tell them.
That is so true. Surprise.
Don't be afraid. You'll be surprised who people are out there waiting to help. You know, you just got to step up and push past that fear and ask, you know. So, and here's a big one for me. Oh, my goodness. How important is punctuality? Oh, my goodness.
It's being on time is extremely important. And I know you're tired of hearing me reference a job interview, but give yourself plenty of time to deal with unexpected situations such as traffic, having to find a parking space.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be late, make sure you call ahead, because nothing screams unpreparedness like showing up late for a meeting or an interview. And make sure you have the contact numbers of the people that you're going to interview with, so that you can call them and let them know that for whatever reason you're running late, which gives them the option of either pushing the interview back, rescheduling it, whatever they need to do, but never show up late without letting them know or warning the people that are going to interview you.
Exactly.
It's always volumes.
Right, right. Plan ahead. Leave early. I'm such a big stickler. My kids will tell you I do not like to be late. My mom said it shows a lack of respect for that other person's time, so don't do it.
It does.
You know, so I think Deborah may have referenced this, or you may have referenced this, Velma, earlier on. How can a student be confident or sound confident but not come off as being arrogant or pompous during an interview? Because I think this is an important point to make.
Well, think before you speak. It's important to listen during the interview and not anticipate or, you know, think you know what the interviewer is going to ask you, and you respond in a clear and concise manner. Try to stay on topic and not ramble, you know, your responses, but make eye contact and be, in a sense, be humble, but also be confident in what you're saying and the fact that you're there. You're there for a reason, because you did impress them. So now it's time for you to impress them face-to-face. And that doesn't mean you're being arrogant or pompous, but just be confident and just be there in the moment, engage, and be interested.
Right, exactly. So here's a very important question. What are some of the typical or commonly asked questions that a student may be asked during one of these interviews?
Yeah, one of the first questions they may ask is, "Tell us about yourself," and that's considered, I guess, an open-ended question, which allows you to direct the conversation. So, you know, plan on your responses, and don't say, "Well, you know, just simple, this is my name. I go to this school," and blah, blah, blah. But plan your answers and be direct and give them, you know, information that is going to put out the best you.
Right.
So they'll know, okay, this is the right person for this scholarship. Another question that you may get is, what is your greatest strength or weakness? That shows that you are a person that's self-aware of your faults, your strengths, you know, and you can change those or work on those. So that's another question. Give an example.
And that's the hardest question, Velma. I'm sorry to interject, but that is for students and some adults. That's one of the hardest questions, because a lot of people do not see they have weaknesses. And, you know, a lot of students are only going to think, okay, I can know what I can do very well, but they're not going to relate anything to weaknesses. So I think that's when a parent or a mentor would come in and tell them their weaknesses, that, you know, I stay up too long and I study, or my weakness is I am a very social butterfly. But, you know, it needs to be some things that they would know about, because you can't say I don't have any. That's a red flag.
That's a red flag, right.
Exactly.
I was always told to use that weakness but turn it into a strength, something that can be looked at as a strength.
Exactly.
You know, like exactly. I would probably say, I always like to be on time. Sometimes I'm a little bit too early, da-da-da-da. But then people could say, okay, well, that's not really a weakness. That's a good thing to us, you know.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's good, that's good.
And Allie, another good question that I thought would give an example of a time you overcame hardship.
That's
and
a great
to me
one.
Or to the panel, that would show a level of determination in you as a person. So this is the person that they want to take their scholarship. This is the person that they want to give their scholarship to. So I think that's a good question.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Okay. All right. And you know, we're at a point now where we are going to ask a question from our question and during our question and answer segment. Okay, here's something that I think we need to make reference to. How important is body language during the interview? Because I think it's important, but I want you to tell us.
Body language is very important. Positive body language can be defined as nonverbal movements or indicators that are communicating interest and positive reaction with the person that you're speaking with or interacting with. Body language, it's in terms of going for an interview, you want to have your shoulders back, you want to be relaxed, but you want to stay on task and have or emit positive energy and have a confident handshake and be engaging. An example of positive body posture or body language is when you're sitting as well as when you're standing, you stand up straight, your shoulders back, and you show the person that you're feeling confident. Another example of maybe positive body language, and I didn't know this myself, but your head tilted to one side just demonstrates that the person is listening, that I'm interested in what you're saying, you know?
Wow, okay. So what's something that's examples of wrong body language?
And this is funny because Deborah mentioned this once before, the cross arms over your chest, that's maybe a sign of your being defensive, and that's not, you know, that's not a good thing.
Right.
But biting your nails may demonstrate that you're a little stressed or nervous or insecure. Sometimes you can't help that, but it's, you know, you try to limit, you know, biting your nails when you're in an interview. Pulling your ear may demonstrate your inability to make a decision. And what they're looking for is people or students who have a plan. And if you are, you know, have an inability to make decisions or you're indecisive, that may say a little about your personality or what have you, but, you know, those are some of the things you may want to try to avoid when you're sitting in front of an interviewer or a panel.
Okay, okay. So as we kind of winding this down, just can you give us a couple of helpful tools or resources, a couple of websites that, you know, a student can use to help practice their interviewing skills?
I actually found this website last night, and it's called Interview Stream, and it actually prepares students. They have a number of mock video interviews, and it prepares the student to, you know, sit for interviews. And students often do not have what they call soft skills necessary to pitch themselves in an interview. They're nervous about the experience, and they stumble by unfamiliar questions. So this website actually teaches you how to, you know, prepare for an interview. They visually prepare you by watching video after video and just give you counters and things like that. So,
wow, thank you. That's awesome. So thank you so much, Velma, for sharing this great information. We're going to compile all of this information and add it to the website. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening and help prepare us for the interview process with scholarships, okay? Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So, Deborah, guess what time it is?
Time
for the college education giveaway. Yay, yay, yay.
We're excited.
That's your bell.
That was Pamela.
That's that bell. That is so funny. So as I mentioned earlier, Deborah and her team are offering to one of our faithful listeners the opportunity to qualify for a chance to win a complete scholarship consultation package valued at over $500. That's right. So, Deborah, tell us what that entails.
That package entails 5 scholarships that will be researched by the team. It can start from $500 to $10,000 or $20,000. Also, the person who wins this chance from A Fresh Start / the launch team as well, we will be their mentor for the whole process. Like if they receive 5 scholarships that we research for them, we'll be there from the beginning until the end. And we will be there far as telling them what time the scholarship is due, what they have to do for the scholarship, and just reminders for them and their parents.
Wow, that's awesome. You can't beat that. So it's so easy for people to qualify, and it's not too late because all you have to do is tune in to listen to the entire Launch Preparing for College Education series, and if you've missed the other parts before this, all you have to do is go back and listen to the recorded podcast, because what you have at the end of each of these shows, we have revealed a secret word, and there are a total of 6 secret catchphrase words, because the 7th show is a recap show, so there's only 6 words. And when you put the words together, they spell out a Preparing for College Education catchphrase. So if you think in the mind of Wheel of Fortune, that's kind of what we were going for. So at the end of the recap show, which is scheduled to air on April 24th, all you have to do is email me the correct catchphrase to thelaunchgiveaway@gmail.com along with your contact information, and your name will be entered into a drawing to win that $500 scholarship consultation package that is being gifted to you by the generosity of Deborah and her team. So again, all you have to do is go back and listen to all the past shows. They've been recorded. You can go and listen to it on iTunes. You can listen to it on Stitcher. So there's really no excuse. So right now, Deborah, what is this week's secret word?
So the secret word is can, C-A-N, can.
Love that bell. Love that bell. Oh, goodness, that's too funny. So as we get ready to... No, right? As we get ready to close out another episode, I want to say thank you, Deborah and Velma, and Ty, your entire launch team, for agreeing to be a part of this wonderful series. Thank you so much, and I look forward to the next part, which is part 6. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So the next episode, as I said, is scheduled for April 10th, and part 6 is when Deborah and her team will be sharing a few tools and resources, all of the websites and research sites and what have you. We're going to have them share some of that helpful information with us, and maybe we might even get some technology information thrown in. You never know, so you're going to want to tune in for that. So don't forget to listen to all of the past recorded podcasts. As I stated, you can access them through the There Is Life After Layoff show page, which is available at uptomeradio.com website. That's uptomeradio.com. And like I mentioned, you can listen to us on iTunes and on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for your mobile device. And all you have to do is search for us by searching Up to Me Radio. Okay? And please also remember to follow me at my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at AllieWard45. And you can also follow me, you can also follow Up To Me Radio on Twitter at Up To Me Radio. And please also remember to like us on Facebook. All you have to do is search for me at There Is Life After Layoff, and Up To Me Radio can be found on Facebook at Up To Me Radio. So on behalf of myself and the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, I say thank you for joining us on this journey. We have some exciting shows planned for you this year, so stay tuned and remain faithful and obedient as God uses us as vessels of change in the lives of others. And so until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, but just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Known has come from you alone.